Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Welcome to Red Storm Chasers. I'm Vincent here with Craig. On this episode, we'll look back at the heartbreaking loss against Villanova and the extremely satisfying win against the Creighton Blue Jays. Craig, great to be back on with you.
Great to be back and great to have a top 10 team for back-to-back weeks now. So,
you know, it looked a little scary there. It looked a little scary for a minute. With the loss to Villanova, the Creighton game became all that more important. And it was like, is it going to be enough to keep the top 10 ranking? Obviously, we were 9. And it seemed to be just enough. Lost one. I mean, we moved back a step. But it's quad one loss. So to be fair, I don't think that it hurts us all that much. And it clearly didn't in the polls.
No, especially, like you said, it's a quad one loss. It is away. And look, Villanova, they're having a tough year. But look, we lost by on a buzzer beater. Right? We lose with a shot with 8 seconds to go. Anybody that saw that game is not, it's not like we got dominated. We just, you know, bad luck. We lost the game. Frankly, you know, we didn't have a great defensive performance for us. And that's really what happened. That's the story of the game is, you know, we didn't do that. And we shot way too many threes.
We made 11. Made a lot of threes. Way too many. 37 attempts is a lot of three-pointers for us. And I know, listen, our last possession, Simeon Wiltshire took a three. I don't really think was the best move. He had a good look, but at the same time, we were down by two. You're the better team. Take the drive, get the layup, go to overtime is my thinking. Yeah. It did seem like the idea behind the game was this is a team we're better than. We need to shoot threes. Maybe let's take this game and just give it a shot.
I entirely agree with you. I was literally just about to say that. I think this was part of the plan. I think Pitino wanted to let them know, like, you guys can make threes. Just shoot. Like, Samir Wiltshire and Aaron Scott, you guys can shoot threes. Like, if you get an open shot, do not hesitate. Just make the shot. Then look, I don't think, and we saw in the Creighton game, they didn't take 40 three-pointers again. No. I think we fell in love a little bit down the stretch, which is not necessarily ideal. If we're taking, you know, 20 three-pointers a game, I think that's really the sweet spot. We need to hit around, if we can hit like 30, somewhere around there, percent, We're going to be in great shape.
Right, and that's exactly what we did in the Creighton game, right? 33% on the nose. We made six of 18, which, you know, for other teams, maybe not the best. But for us, 6 of 18 is good. We make 6 threes. We're in a great spot. But I do agree. I think the game plan in that Villanova game was shoot it out, guys. Just shoot.
Yeah.
No matter what. And listen, it didn't work out. You know, it was lost. And it was a little deflating because we just gotten, you know, we're 9 in the country now. You know, this is great. And then to lose right away, a little old St. John's fashion there. A little quick deflate. But I'm glad to see that we stayed in the top 10.
It's funny because there was always that back of your mind thing like, oh, of course, when you just get the top 10, can't we like win whatever? But it's a different year and it felt different. Like, even though they lost, I was still very confident going into Creighton. And I was like, it's a bump in the road. We'll be all right. Look, we were never going to win out. I would love to. Like, I hope we win every game the national championship in April. But that's hard, right? So you knew you're going to lose somewhere. I think the Villanova game, in terms of standing wise, and we'll get into it a little bit later, but it's probably the least impactful one standing wise. So that's good.
that's a fair point. It's also like a classic trap game, if you will.
For sure.
Right? You know the Creighton game is huge because they're in second place. You just come off of a great win at Connecticut. So it's a classic trap game scenario on the road, like you said. And I think that, you know, we fell into it. And that's just the way it goes. Fortunately, at the end of the day, it's just a loss. And we move on and we're still in first place. Still in sole possession of first place.
Correct.
And
Creighton lost in the middle of the week too, which was helpful.
Yeah. I mean, we've had some help along the way in terms of the standings, certainly. But it's nice to see that still in first place, 2 games ahead, still a top 10 team, ranked 10th.
Yep.
And another big week ahead. We got, you know, DePaul. And we've got UConn once again. But let's talk about the Creighton game because that was the bigger game of the two this week. And I'm not just saying that. Clearly the AP thought that as well, which is why they kept us highly ranked even though we lost to Villanova. 79-73 came away with the victory at home. Like I said before, 33% from three, 6 of 18. Very good for us. Very much where we want to be. Bad shooting day. 38% overall, though. Which, I say bad shooting day for us. Nah.
Slightly bad.
Slightly bad. Yeah, only slightly bad. They outshot us, 41% for them. They did not shoot as well from three, which I think was a great job by our defense and probably why they found themselves on the losing end of this matchup.
For sure.
In terms of free throws, we were 59%, which is right around our average. But what we did down the stretch is why we won this game. We did exactly what we had to do to close out the game. I know free throw shooting is a problem for us. And I know in looking ahead, because for this team, it's important in the tournament, in the Big East tournament, free throw shooting could be an issue. And they even talked about it on the broadcast. Hey, they're, they were calling it Shaq, Hack a Johnny instead of Hack a Shaq. And, Donnie Marshall was saying Creighton should start doing that with about a minute to go because they're going to miss the free throws. Well, we didn't. 7 of 8, we closed out the game on free throws.
Yeah.
That's a winning team mentality. That's a winning team's job. As 59% is, yeah, we did what we had to do at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, we missed, like you said, we missed shots down the thing, which help, keeps teams in games. It doesn't put, it doesn't put the hammer down early on, but down the stretch when it mattered, we made the shots, and that's why we ended up closing out. I mean, and we closed out a huge game, and the pressure was on that whole game. Like you said, it was an important game, standings-wise, perception-wise, all kinds of things. I feel like we keep saying this after every game or before every game this year. It's like this is like the biggest game we've had in a long time, but it was
only since like the beginning of the end of January,
right?
To be fair, the Big East packed us in here with Marquette, Creighton, and UConn matchups.
Sure, but I mean, like, think of the importance of this game in terms of the Big East standing, our path to a Big East title, our path to a top three,
we lose this game, we're tied. We're no longer in first place. Creighton's right. In first. We're tied with them, but they'd beat us on tiebreaker,
and they would have the driver. They'd be in the driver's
seat. Exactly.
They would have a tiebreaker, mm-hmm. and we'd be tied. It would be, we wouldn't control our destiny. We are now in a great spot, and again, have to talk about the crowd at the game. Sold out arena. He sold out against a Creighton team, which means it was very few Creighton fans that traveled. It was 95%. If not more, St. John's crowd. And it was a loud crowd, as it's been over the last few games, which is just the renaissance we all wished and hoped for and always believed that it could be this, and now it's this, where every game is packed, every game is loud. I mean, the crowd is loud. We've all been to these games for years and years and years. Even when we were good, it was a smaller crowd. They weren't necessarily engaged. This crowd is loud, engaged on every play. And this team has done that. It's credit to the players, just credit to Rick Pitino to really bring the program back, and it's just a credit to the fans that have been there for a long time, but also the new fans that are coming and finding this team, and they're falling in love with this team because of the effort they put in and the work ethic and just they showed on the court. Defense, it's funny because defense is not something that people would necessarily say when they think about basketball. They're usually like, oh, it's amazing to see these amazing offensive players making threes, dunks, like that. There's something about defense that really gets a crowd going. Because you know what it is?
Our crowd, anyway.
At least a New York crowd. I should say New York crowd. But because it's all effort. Defense is all effort. You just have to play. You're just playing harder. And that's appreciated. And people get crazy. And people love it.
I do, and this team does it particularly well.
Unbelievably well. Unbelievably well.
Plus 10 on the turnover margin. We only had 5 turnovers. But that's the other thing. We don't turn the ball over much.
Sure.
Which is major key because we're turning them over. We turn them over 15 times in this game.
Yeah.
And this is a team that's does a very good job of handling the ball. The Creighton Blue Jays. They do a great job of not turning the ball over. And we spanked them in that category. And that's partly because, it's almost entirely because of how gritty we are on defense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's, Creighton's a really good team. We saw it. We lost that on the road. They're a good team. They're a well-tournament team. Like, they're pretty much locked in. we just out-toughed them. You know what I mean? That's yeah. who we are. That's our DNA, is that we play harder. We play tough defense, and that's our identity.
We had some great performances. Kadari Richmond, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 4 steals. Wasn't the only double-double, though. RJ Lewis, out of his mind this game. 23 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. Absolutely phenomenal. Zubi, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Hit a 3.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
I love to see it.
He got a little happy, though. He took a couple extra ones.
Once you hit the one, Zubi, that's enough. You can shut it down. But no, he hit it. Kadari Richmond, though, 4-4 from the free throw line, by the way. Phenomenal.
His free throws have looked good recent games. I know he struggled very mightily early on, but the free throws definitely look better. But I think we got to talk about RJ Lewis. And
absolutely.
Look, RJ Lewis is making a very strong, strong push to be Big East Player of the Year. I mean, look at his stats. Look at his numbers. Look at the impact he has on games. You know, it would be unfair if he's not on that list. Like, people need to start talking about him. I mean, he was on the Wooden Award watch list in the country. I mean, he's got to be a prime candidate for Biggest Player of the Year.
I mean, 100%. Averaging 17 points a game, 7 rebounds. You know, you go out there and yes, you know, obviously he's a guard, but he's so good at offensive rebounding. He's so good at just knowing, okay, I'm going to be there. I'm going to get this ball no matter what. And you, if you watch him play and you watch him go for rebounds, it is fantastic to watch. Because he is just the grittiest guy on the court. I'm going to get this ball no matter what, is what it looks like every time he goes for the rebound.
He has that nose for the ball. And that's like something you can't really teach, but it's something innate that he has.
We also had a bit of a surprise in this Creighton game.
We did.
A happy surprise for the St. John's Red Storm. Not so much for the Creighton Blue Jays. I know Greg McDermott was not pleased. Doug is his son, so I'm sure
probably he wasn't probably upset.
But we had the return of Davon Smith.
Huge.
Eight points off the bench. We thought he might be done for the year. Rick Pitino said he's potentially shut down for the year. You know, he had tweaked something in his neck, had been the most recent injury. And he practiced the day before the game, came out, and looked good. You know, looked
like himself.
Like himself, which wasn't necessarily the case when he came back from the shoulder injury. But now if he's back, you know, another layer to this team.
Well, it allows us to press, and he's such a good on-ball defender.
Yeah.
It gives us a little more depth, and he's offensively, we're just better when he's on the court.
Absolutely.
He's a good shooter. He runs the offense well. He moves the ball well. He's just so fast. And there was a couple plays he just blew by Kalk Bretter. Like, you know, Kalk Bretter's 7-foot million or whatever, but he just went by and lay it up. So, okay.
Talk about the press in this game. We had them on their heels.
Yes.
Every time we pressed, they struggled to get the ball in. And listen, they've got, you know, old man Ashworth, who's played more college basketball than, you know, most people have ever seen in their life. And yet he was shaken. Now, listen, he still had 23 points because he's a good player. He's also 5-10 years older than half the players on the court. But they, you know, then you had Kalkbrenner fake the injury, which was great. I mean, listen.
He probably got hurt.
Sure. My issue is this. Ashworth gets hurt in the matchup in Omaha, goes to the locker room, then comes back out. Same repeat, rinse and repeat here in Madison Square Garden. Kalkbrenner hurts his foot seemingly to the point where he can't walk to the locker room, and he's out, you know, 5 minutes later. It's a little much.
Shades of Paul Pierce getting wheeled into
My God, so much. Listen, I get it. He probably got hurt. There's no doubt he hurt his foot. Okay, I'm not saying he faked the injury, but yeah, come on, bud. Like, you lay it on a little thick there. Just go to the bench, get checked out, and then, you know, we don't need the whole, you're not all Willis Reed, okay? You're not all Willis Reed. Anyway, big win. Big
huge
win.
Huge win. Huge.
Now let's talk about the standings that we had, you know, alluded to, if you will. As we said, this was a 1-2 matchup in terms of the ranking, or in terms of the standings in the Big East.
Mm-hmm.
St. John's in first place, Creighton in second place. We lose, Creighton takes over. Well, we didn't. we've now also created a little bit of a gap. So where do things stand heading into this week? St. John's first, all alone, 13-2 in conference.
What a time to be alive.
What is 13-2? God bless. Two-game lead on the Creighton Blue Jays. They're at 11-4. Marquette is 10-4. They're 2.5 back. They got an extra game to play.
Two games up in the loss column.
Two games up in the loss column, though. More importantly, three games up in the loss column on UConn, who are 9-5. Those are really the only four teams that matter. No offense to the Xavier's, Villanova's of the world. They're certainly going to be in the Big East tournament, potentially in that Crown Invitational tournament thing. You know, they'll get an NIT invite. Xavier could make the tournament.
I guess Xavier could. Nova could, too.
Villanova could. They got to turn it up.
They both got a shot, but really in terms of Big East title, which is what we're talking about right now.
Right.
They don't factor into that race.
No, they're out. The only four teams that matter in terms of the Big East championship is St. John's, Creighton, Marquette, and UConn. Obviously, we are in the driver's seat. We have a two-game loss column lead on Creighton, two-game loss column lead on Marquette, and then three on UConn. The only reason UConn's still kind of in the conversation is because we have the matchup against them this week.
Right. And they play Marquette.
And they play Marquette still. But for that, they probably would be out of this conversation. Now, what this means is our magic number is really three. If we win the next three games, at DePaul, home against UConn, those two games set us up for the Butler matchup, which would potentially be a game where we could clinch the Big East title.
Right.
Just because of the tiebreak scenarios, you know, obviously Creighton and Marquette could both reach 16 wins because of the amount of games they have left to play. If we win the next three, though, we will reach 16 wins and we'll have tiebreakers enough over both Creighton and Marquette that it won't matter.
Right. Because the tiebreaker is head to head first, right? Which we split with Creighton and we split with Marquette. But the next tiebreaker is what's your record against the next best team.
Right.
So it would work like this. It would be, let's say it's Creighton who tie us. We would both be 1-1 against Marquette. Then you go to UConn. If we were to win on Sunday, we would be 2-0. They'd be 1-1, which means we would win the tiebreaker. Same thing, literally exactly the same thing for Marquette. Just flip Creighton and Marquette. They would be 1-1. They'd be 1-1. We'd be 2-0 against UConn. So that really, the UConn game is extraordinarily critical in terms of tiebreakers scenarios for us, because winning against Creighton was good because it took away their tiebreaker. But in order for us to get the tiebreaker, we have to beat UConn.
Yeah. And so the UConn game is critical. Now, if we were to lose the UConn game, we still have a very good path to winning the Big East.
Yes.
You know, our magic number then increases a little bit. We would need to beat Butler and Seton Hall, and probably it would come down to the Marquette. It could potentially,
depending on Marquette goes,
but it could potentially then come down to the last game of the season against Marquette.
Well, and the thing about it is Creighton, if you're looking at their schedule, they really don't have another loss on their schedule or even a tough, like we play UConn and Marquette still.
Their toughest game is Xavier.
Their game is at Xavier, which is could, they could lose. Look, Xavier is fighting for their life. You never know. But they play Seton Hall, they play DePaul, they play Butler, and
I think they play Providence too. Yeah.
So they really have, you know.
Those are the four bottom teams in the Big East.
So there is
a scenario where it's likely that they're going to end up with potentially five wins, which would put them at 16. But again, with that UConn win, we then hold a tiebreaker over them that they're not going to be able to beat us.
And even if they were to get 16, we would certainly be able to clinch if we were to win up until the Seton Hall game.
But the truth of the matter is we win the next three games, none of it matters.
Correct.
We win the next three games, it's a lock. It's over. We've won the Big East season regular title. We'll be playing at noon on Thursday, and what a sight that would be.
Unbelievable. First time we would have won the outright Big East title, I think, since like 1991.
Yeah, the 92. Is
92, yeah.
Whatever, but 91, 92 season, that means my entire lifetime.
I mean, that's
the last insanity. Time it happened, I was one. Right, I wasn't even one. I was one. I was 2 months old.
Yeah.
So, wild times here at St. John's. Anyway, let's talk about our net a little bit. 22 in the net and 18 in the KenPom. Just, you know, good numbers to keep in mind, mainly because of what those mean. The net in particular for tournament time.
Well, and the NCAA release of They did their release on Saturday of their top 16 seeds in the tournament. They do it once in the season, which was this past Saturday. They ranked the team, the top four seeds in each bracket. And St. John's was the four seed. We were the 16th seed, 16th overall seed, but right. The four seed in the East Regional, which put us playing potentially a second round game in Newark, which would be phenomenal. Look, 16 is lower than our 9th or our 10th ranking, but I think personally that came out right after the Villanova loss, before the Creighton loss. So we're looking at still up end potential in terms of moving up that C list. So I think we're out four right there. That's solid. We're included on that list. I mean, they do respect our body of work to a certain extent. The Villanova loss doesn't really hurt us in their eyes. And now we have room to grow on that. And I think Creighton step was the first step in growing and going higher in that seed list.
Absolutely. We got another opportunity this week with UConn. More opportunities to build. And we do still have the Marquette matchup at the end. The mm-hmm. nice part for us, the knock had been for a while that, they have no quad one wins. Well, now we do. The really nice part, though, is we still have opportunities for quad one. Yep. The UConn one's going to be tight. UConn with the loss to Seton Hall, which, yikes. We'll get to that in a minute. But they're on the edge of not potentially being a quad one win when they come to Madison Square Garden this week.
I think right now they're not, actually.
Right now they're not. No, they're not right now. But they do play. They play Nova before they play us. So they have an opportunity to get a win coming in, which would put them below 30. Because they're right on the line. They're flirting with the 30. Remember, if it's a home game, you have to be in the top 30. Net for your opponent has to be in the top 30 net for it to be a quad one win. And right now they're 35, so they've got the potential to get there. But you'll have to see how the week plays out. Obviously, every game impacts the net, so it is an ever shifting, goalpost, if you will.
Well, Creighton's 33 too, right? So it would be helpful for us if they sneak into that top 30, because then that last win on Sunday. Would also become a quad one win. So a couple things like that. And there's another scenario too, if looking at the really getting into the weeds here about this, if Providence, who's ranked 83rd, can move up to 75, that becomes a quad one win.
Or Butler's 81. New Mexico 37. If they can get up.
Right. So a couple of those teams, rooting for them down the stretch, Butler's 81. They have a shot. They could get to 75, right?
Right.
If they get to 75, that Butler game next Wednesday is a quad one all of a sudden, right? It goes from a quad two to a quad one. So, there's opportunities, and I think a big thing which is new for this year, well, actually not new for this year, it's changed from last year, is that now the Big East tournament, last year the NCAA, for some odd, unbelievable reason, just basically to screw St. John, it seemed like, decided that the Big East tournament wouldn't count as a neutral site game for St. John's only, which is crazy because it's not our St. John's home game. We're St. John's season ticket holders. We don't get tickets to the game. So
count the Raleigh games as a neutral site for Duke and North Carolina.
It's crazy. But
they've corrected it wrong, though.
They've corrected the wrong. And now the Big East tournament will count as neutral site games, which is important because that opens up a whole new batch of quad one opportunities for us in the Big East tournament as well to help improve that seat. Look, at this point, we're not talking about making the tournament. I think we're at 22 wins. Everywhere across the internet, every bracketologist, we're a lock. We are going to make the tournament, which is
for sure.
Let's just appreciate that. That is something that we don't always do. And look, I think we're in a new world here, but we're going to make tournament. Now we're talking about how high can we get? How high of a seed can we get? Can we get preferential treatment to where we're playing in Newark in the second weekend? Because we're looking at second weekend. That's what we're looking at.
You talked about the importance of the neutral site, just to give you a concept. I mean, I know we kind of ran through the numbers a little quickly, but Villanova's 53, Xavier's 54. In a neutral site game, they only have to get up to 50. You're talking about, obviously, UConn, Marquette, Creighton, those are all already above 50. So you're talking about five potential matchups for us that could be quad one wins in a scenario where we're already have a decent resume with quad one wins. I think this team, depending on how you finish out, we could get as high realistically as a two seed. That's not impossible. It's not even that, we don't have to win out to get a two seed either. I think we can get a two seed without winning out. We win out, we're going to be a one seed, in my opinion. Just my guess.
I from your lips to God's ears. Look, I mean, I definitely could see it too. If we, you know, it depends on how we're doing against UConn. Depends on how we do against Marquette.
Oh, I said win
how
out.
We're doing the biggest tournament. You know? No, if we win out. Yeah, no. If I'm going out for the 2 seed.
For a 2 seed? Yeah, no. In order to get a 2 seed, we have to beat UConn. We have to beat Marquette. We probably have to win.
Get to the Big East.
Get to the final. Big East final. I don't know that we have to win it to get a 2 seed, but I think at that point we'd probably be a 2 seed. You know, but imagine that. Imagine being a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, which means you're definitely playing in Newark, by the way.
Sure, 100%.
You're definitely in the East. First round games are going to be in Providence. Second, you know, your Sweet 16, Elite Eight category is going to be Newark. That would be just amazing for a fan base that absolutely deserves it. By the way, we've been through it. We earned this. So enjoy it while it lasts.
Absolutely, soak it in.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that has helped soak it in, by the way, just started last week. But the documentary on Vice. Following, yep. It's Patino, you know, Red Storm Rising. If you haven't watched it, definitely watch it. First episode's out. Second episode comes out this week. Great show and just another way to love this team. I mean, I love this team on paper before the season started, right? Now I love this team because we're phenomenally good. And now I get to watch back the beginning of the season, right? Because the first episode went up to the Baylor loss. So it's just... you get a deeper look at these guys and you get to really see Rick Pitino at work, which is incredible to watch.
Absolutely. And he talks about his performance in the past. He talks about Kentucky and where they were at when he's like, you know, you think about he was at Kentucky. You're like, yeah, well, Kentucky's good, right? Well, when he took over, Kentucky wasn't good. They were on probation. They talked about how they were really down in the dumps and he turned that program around when there was so much angst about it. And look, he's doing the same thing. He's done it everywhere he's gone. And we all knew this, but it's to see it up close and personal and really get the emotions of that and get the really in behind the scenes look. It's for a St. John's fan, it is appointment television and
absolutely.
It's great. It's amazing. I mean, might have been the 99 season. They did, ESPN did a documentary series on St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to have that again now for a new team.
It is, and I'm sure most of you listening have seen the clip because you're probably following most Big East Twitter or St. John's Twitter. Seen the clip from this newest episode coming out this week, and you know, it's about adversity, and it makes you I run through a wall for Rick Pitino after watching that clip. I watched it. I was juiced up, just ready to go, even though it was President's Day. I wasn't even doing anything. ready to rock and roll. But also in the clip, he talks about how, and I think this is very true of our team, and it's a small nugget, but he says, listen, I don't care if you miss the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Get back and play defense. That's right. Our game. That's why he's in the clip, he's talking about don't get down on yourself if you miss. It's okay to miss the shot. Just get back on defense. And that if that's not the true mantra of our team, I don't know what is. Shoot the shot. You miss. Get the rebound, A, if you're on offense, because that's what we're very good at. Or B, just go back to playing defense immediately. Right. Just make the flip.
Don't let the shots mess up your defense.
Exactly. The answer is we're going to make enough shots. That's not what we're concerned about. We're concerned about making sure we play enough defense. All right. So we talked a bit out of order, but let's do the spotlight player of the week because it's that time. Obviously, it's the Villanova loss, unfortunately, but it's also the Creighton win. And let me tell you, of all the weeks, this may be the toughest simply because the performances in the Creighton game were so incredible by Kadari, by RJ, by Zuby. Zuby... He scored 2 points in the Villanova game. So with all due respect, I'm gonna go ahead and say he's not going to get one of our votes.
Right.
But just a phenomenal week, a way to end the week with that Creighton game. All right, Craig, you want to go first or you want to go second? You get to pick this time.
Wow. I think I will go I'll go first.
Okay.
I think... It's a tough call because I'm going to say my spotlight player of the week is going to be Kadari Richmond, actually. I was really leaning towards RJ Lewis, but I think Kadari Richmond, for the consistency sake, 17 points, 10 assists against Villanova, and then another double-double against Creighton. And his turn back to the Kadari Richmond that where that senior hall last year has been just a major key for taking this team to the next level. So,
you know, Craig, for a minute there, I thought we would vote differently. But when you get a double-double the hard way, which is with points and assists, there's no doubt that you deserve recognition for that. And that's what Kadari Richmond did this week. Mm-hmm. Got the, you know, double-digit points, double-digit assists in the Nova game, and then turned it around with the performance in Creighton, which, you know, 4-for-4 from the free throw line for me is for him, really gives it a little extra selling point too. He's back to being the Kadari Richmond we thought we were getting. And with him, and now with Davion Smith back, we have him playing a role and being in a position where, you know, I don't know, the sky's the limit for him. Yeah. So I certainly pick him as a spotlight player of the week. Two votes for, no votes against. Nick and Tim didn't vote. So that's it. Kadari Richmond, spotlight player of the week. Congratulations. Let's talk about the week ahead, because it is, once again, as we've said, a week of important games, not only because we're three games away from clinching the Big East, but because of that UConn matchup on Sunday. But first, before we get there, we'll have a nice little trip to Chicago on Wednesday for a late tip, 9 p.m. tip on Fox Sports 1. The Blue Demons are just the poor Blue Demons. 11-15 on the season, 2-3 in the Big East. They looked promising. The last time we played them, they were 8-3. It looked like perhaps the Blue Demons were going to show some life and actually, you know, be a middle of the pack Big East team this year. And then they got into Big East play and turned it to the DePaul of old. Last matchup for them, 89, or last matchup against them, I should say, back in December, we beat them 89-61. It was rough
for them.
It was nice for us.
Fun for us.
They're 133 in the net, which I know sounds irrelevant. However, that makes them a quad two game, which is good. However, they're right on the line. 135 makes it a quad three win. If that happens, quad three wins don't really get counted for anything. Quad two wins tend to get lumped in on Selection Sunday as being a valued win. So let's hope the Blue Demons can continue to stay up there in the 130s and not sink too low.
Stay above 135. That's all we need to do.
We're not asking for much. All right, they're led by CJ Gunn. He averages 12 points a game. The only other double-digit scorer on the team is Jacob Meyer. He averages 10.9 points a game. Both of them are guards, so that's who we'll be playing with in the front court. In the back court. In the front court, NJ Benson is their big man. He averages 8.5 and 6 rebounds a game. That's who Zuby will most likely be facing up against. Although I shouldn't just say Zuby anymore, because Vince, Ruben Prey, we get guys in now. We get good minutes from guys off the bench. And you saw it in the Creighton game. Particularly against Kalkbrenner, it's good to see these guys getting in. It's good to see these guys getting roll, you know, getting minutes, good minutes for us. It's not a ton, but you know, you saw, you know, Ruben Prey got 4, Vince got 5. It helps. Every minute helps, and when that happens, particularly against a guy in DePaul, it's, I think, more impactful, perhaps.
Yeah, I wonder if the game plan is going to be different a little bit for DePaul. If we might see more of those guys to try to develop them and give a little more. I mean, I guess depending on the score, right? If forbid it ever got close, I think that would be different. But I think, like the Villanova game where we took it and we're like, we need to make threes, I could see this DePaul game being like, look, we need to develop. We need some of these guys to play minutes because we're going to need them at some point. Mm-hmm. So we don't want them to have zero experience. We need them to get in there and play.
Also, I could see that.
But also counterbalancing the fact that we have to win the game because we can't lose at DePaul.
Well, I think it's certainly a scenario where you get a big at halftime and then you see a lot of these guys. Ibo got some good minutes in that Creighton game as well. He played 9 minutes. So, like, yeah, I think you're right. I think this is going to be a scenario where you see those guys getting more minutes in the concept of, the Big East tournament is coming up. In tournament mode, you know, Zuby's not going to be able to play 35 minutes. Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, obviously it's not that, but it's Thursday and Friday and Saturday. So like, you know, getting these guys real minutes in real games is important. And DePaul's a team we're going to beat as long as we play correctly, right? You know, listen, anybody can lose to anybody. UConn just lost to Seton Hall, who had no right beating them. But as long as things go par, we'll win the game.
Right. We should. I mean, look, we're a more talented team. We're you know, we play defense. We're relentless. We should win this game. You never know.
I think
it's a big issue. Anything can happen.
Sure.
You can't take it for granted.
But I do think, to your point, it would be smart, just like in the Villanova game, to get these other guys in here and say, you know, let's give these guys some minutes. Let's get them some experience.
Right. I mean, we beat them by 28 points the first time we played them.
Yeah.
So that just kind of, you know, look, it's we were on at home, so you want to take the road, take 15 points off, we still win by, you know, 13.
Certainly fun to watch on Wednesday. Fun for us to watch, but not the most important matchup of the week.
No.
The other matchup this week, the big one, is Sunday at noon on Fox in Madison Square Garden. God, I hate noon games. But anyway, the UConn Huskies are coming off of a loss at Seton Hall. Oof.
Love that for
Love that. A better
group of guys.
Just the juxtaposition of Danny Hurley yelling at Creighton fans after he beat him about winning two rings because he's a child and he can't help himself, then going to losing to a Seton Hall team that has no right beating them is spectacular.
Russo with the big shot in that game.
Russo, huge shot in that game.
Huge shot. Huge
shot. You know, the UConn fans are all up in arms because there was – you know, a potential foul at the end of the game that caused the turnover. And the answer is, don't put yourself in a position where if you turn the ball over, you're going to lose to Seton Hall, and then you don't have to worry about the call. And that's what I have to say about that. So UConn will face off against Villanova before they face us. So they do have the opportunity to bump up their net, which would be appreciated from our perspective. But our last matchup against them was in stores, 68-62. We came away with the victory. And listen, it was a scary game. They came out hot. First 8 minutes of the game, it looked like they were the UConn of old. They had just gotten McNeely back. And all of a sudden, it looked like we could be in trouble. And then we remembered who we are. And we made them play our game for the entire rest of the game. And in doing that, came away with the victory. We had a lead at halftime. The minute we had a lead at halftime in that game, I knew we were in good position.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we ate them alive on defense. I mean, it was a terrible first 8 minutes of the game. They really get a shot out of a cannon. Oh, yeah. And it was like, holy, no, this is not great. But the next, 32-ish minutes were just a dominant performance. We swallowed them alive. They just couldn't do anything. And yeah,
that's it. When they were up 26-12 at the 12-minute mark, you're like, uh-oh, this is not looking good. And then from that point on, it was all St. John's.
There was the one guy on No Escalators on Twitter. It's a big UConn guy. Mm-hmm. He posted the score was like 24-8. And was like, these guys, they were saying, we want UConn. Had that work out for you. And then my man got owned at the end of the game.
He did admit to it, though. He was like, you know what?
He did.
If you come out with hate like I do, you get it back and you deserve it. He said, I deserve it, which is fine.
Look, as long as you dish it out.
As long as you're willing to take it when you dish it. Yeah, absolutely. That's it. He's a good sport about it. So that's good. But yeah, no, that game was terrifying because of the importance and because of how it started. And then it just shows the grit of this team that we'll wear you down. Mm-hmm. The first 8 minutes of the game it's not that they don't matter, but they don't matter. What the score is doesn't matter. Even the first half. I always say if we're within 10 at halftime, game's even, because the second half is where we make our bones. You're so worn out by the time you get to the under 12 and you realize you've got 12 minutes left to play and we're not giving up and it's just not going away. And we just keep pounding you.
We're 6-1 when we're down by double digits. Ridiculous stat. 6-1 when we're down double digits at some point in the game. That's ridiculous.
That is a ridiculous
stat. It seems like a made up stat, frankly.
It kind of does.
But it's true.
looking at this UConn team, McNeely is back. He's very good. 18 points against us last time. He averages 15 a game. He leads the team, sort of. He doesn't qualify for the number of games played because of his injury. But Solo Ball does lead the team. He averages 14.8 a game. Also very good. Their third guy is Alex Caravan, who we absolutely dominated in our last matchup. He had 3 points, and I forgot he existed because of how bad he played, which is good. That's exactly what we want. We want to be able to shut them down, and we did. He was 1 of 6 from the field.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Exactly where we want him to be. We talked about their net ranking 35, so we're hoping that if they beat Villanova, they can get up to 30, which would be another quad one opportunity for us. This is a tough game, though. This is not like the DePaul game. It's important, as we talked about, because it can help us clinch the Big East. It's also important because UConn has the whole, we can take Madison Square Garden over, blah, 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 nonsense. Game sold out. Good job, St. John's fans. Don't give the tickets to your UConn friends. Make sure you come out and you wear red early. And you get loud. UConn
circled this on a long time ago.
It's a funny joke for you guys to think you can take over Madison Square Garden because you can't. But it'll be fun. It'll be a fun game on Sunday for sure. Hopefully, it'll have the outcome we want.
I hope, my finger crossed, it has the outcome we want. I'm a little nervous about the crowd. I will tell you that, because the tickets were bought early and they probably had this circled for a long time. I'm hoping St. John's fans hold on to your tickets and you're giving it to other St. John's fans so we can make it red. Look, there'll be more UConn fans than there were Marquette fans or Creighton fans, but that's just the nature of the beast, right? Sure. I mean, they're closer by. The important thing is we need to be loud, and when we win, hopefully, the crowd is boisterous and they can, get on the trains back to Connecticut, sadly.
That's all we hope for. People going sadly back to Connecticut is the only way people should go to Connecticut, because it's the worst state. It's the worst state in the Northeast. It's just a highway. All it is a highway that connects Boston and New York. That's all Connecticut is. Anyway, that's it. Those are the two games this week, DePaul and UConn. We win those two games, we are one win away from clinching the Big East title.
What a world. Every time I say it, every time I think of it, we won, and you're just like, what interview universe are we living in here? Like, thank God. This is amazing.
It's amazing. This team is just so fun to watch.
They are.
All right. Well, that'll do it. For Craig, I'm Vincent. Go Johnnies. Keep chasing.